Good morning to each one. We also greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Glad we can come in his name and honor and glorify his name. And so, I'm so thankful this morning also for the Comforter. Jesus told his disciples there that one day, he says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter. And this morning, that is such a blessing this morning. We just got done saying the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost is. And the question is he living in your life this morning? Is he living in my life? Am I filled with that this morning? And am I telling others about it? Also, I appreciated the devotions as well this morning, talking about that great gift, quicken us. He made us alive. It is a great gift that you and I can have been given to experience the life in Christ, life in Jesus this morning. For a message this morning, I do invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. The message this morning I had was had this title given to me a few weeks ago at Calvary for their Sunday evening, and I decided to preach it here this morning. And the title of the message is, Let Each Esteem Other Better Than Themselves. So that's what we like to look at this morning. What are we talking about this morning when we're talking about esteeming? Esteeming others. What are we talking about? Well, we're going to look at this a little bit for a few moments here. Is this found in the Bible? Well, that title is taken out of the Bible. You can, like I said, turn to Philippians 2. I like to read 1 to 4 here at the start of the message, then I like to continue on reading later on. But we're going to read just verses 1 to 4. Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Now this is where our title is this morning. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Verse 3, that is our title this morning. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. So what are we talking about this morning? What jumps out at you at this phrase, let each esteem others better than themselves? What jumps out at you? Well, what jumped out at me is that word esteem. What are we talking about when we're talking about esteem? What is the meaning of it? What does that word mean? Well, it's the degree of respect or liking one has for someone or something. Another definition, a very favorable opinion. Another one is to think very highly or favorably of. So we kind of get a little grasp of what this word really means. It's to think highly of something or someone. Have a respect or a liking to of something. So we get the meaning of this word. So we are to think highly of someone. Lift someone up. Better than who? Well, ourselves. And that's what this verse is trying to say this morning, that we're actually supposed to esteem someone a little better than ourselves. Okay? Did you get that? And that could be a lot of people. That could be anyone we're in contact with, that could be whoever we know or our associates or our neighbors or whoever. But I'd like to bring this down this morning to our brotherhood relationships. And that's who I believe Paul was writing to here. He was writing to the brothers and sisters here at Philippians, and he was encouraging brothers and sisters to highly esteem each other. Highly esteem each other. And I just want to press that burden on to us today. And I just feel like maybe, yeah, I preached a few Sundays back on unity, and last Sunday on encouragement. I feel like maybe this is another rerun of those style messages. I hope you don't mind. But I think this morning we cannot stress the importance of brotherhood relationships, good brotherhood relationships, and also unifying one another in unity and pulling together. So I like to nail that down to us as brothers and sisters. And we could back up to verses 1 and 2 and 3. I tell you what, there's some loaded verses. Loaded with a lot of truths in for us brothers and sisters to live out. It's all ages, not just for some special people or special elect or whatever, but it's for all of us to live out. And if we would live this out, how would it affect our relationships this morning? How would it affect our brotherhood this morning, relationships? How would it affect church life if we would live this out in our relationship? I believe we would have good church life. I believe we'd have good relationships. I would believe there would be a spirit of unity among us. So verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having that same love, being of one accord and in a one mind. Talks about, I don't know where your mind goes when you read a verse like that. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having that same love, being of one accord, of one mind. To me, that sounds like unity, doesn't it? It sounds like togetherness. It sounds like pulling together. It sounds like having a same goal in mind, striving for the same goal. Talked a little bit like pressing on toward the mark last Sunday. So that could tie into this as well. It's striving to reach the 7-day destination, togetherness, in one, in the spirit of unity, in the spirit of a mind, in spirit of mind, unity together, striving together. But this morning, how can we get a body of believers to come together in that spirit of unity? Where we can come together and experience joy and one accord and one mind. That pulling together, having a love for each other. How does that all happen? Well, he jumps over to verse 3. It's one thing that's got to go. The one thing that will destroy unity, destroy relationships, is when there is strife and vainglory. This morning, brothers and sisters, that spirit has to go this morning. If I think well of myself, it's the opposite of unity. It's the opposite of esteeming. It's the opposite of pulling together when there is strife and vainglory. It's the opposite of pulling together oneness. James talks about bitter envying and strife in your heart. Glory not. He said, this is just not from above. This type of acting, this type of spirit, whatever you want to call it, is not from above. But it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Pretty strong language here, brothers and sisters. This is not from above. Every evil work. This attitude will destroy brotherhood relationships. Destroy unity. It will destroy each other. It's sensual, earthly, and devil. So verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory means too much pride, and especially in what something is done. And that comes close to us home. We like to think well of ourselves. We like to think well of our accomplishments. We like to let everyone know that how busy I am. We like to let everyone know that what I'm doing, whether if it's in the job or whether it's in my spiritual life and whether whatever it is. This morning, that's just a human tendency of just to think well of ourselves and talk good about ourselves and have a tendency of lifting ourselves up. Vainglory, too much pride, especially in what one has done. Paul is saying this morning, let nothing be done in vainglory or strife. Nothing this morning. We're not going to get very far if we like to be noticed, or we're a person that has a lot of strife in us. Or we enjoy strife. We enjoy argument. We enjoy just getting a rise out of that. I'm not saying there's never a place for that, but when we're just causing strife and sowing discord in brotherhood, that is wrong. It's wrong. Let nothing be done in vainglory. But how can we live our lives in complete opposite? In a true spirit of humility, in the lowliness of mind. The opposite. Paul says, let nothing be done in strife or vainglory. But he flips it around and says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. In a true spirit of humility, in the lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than superior to himself. That could have been taken out of the Amplified. Thinking more highly of one another than you do yourselves. And tonight, or this morning, brothers and sisters, that is a tremendous high calling for you and I to live. That is a tremendous to think higher of my brother that is sitting beside me than myself or my sister, whatever. To lift my brother up with love and respect. That's what he's saying here. That is what he is saying, how we are to live our lives this morning. It's to think well, my brother. It's to make his walk easier for him. It is to be an encouragement to him. It is to walk beside him. It is to think well of him. It is to think to dwell on his good points. Not the negative, but the good points of him. And be a brother to walk beside and esteem him better than yourself, is what he's trying to say here. And this morning, that is a tremendous high calling for you and I to live. To think higher than my brother. And how is this done? The question is, how can I live this out? Well, this type of living just doesn't happen. It just doesn't automatically happen. It doesn't automatically that I just esteem my brother more than myself. That is just something that I automatically do. It doesn't happen that way. This morning we all have a carnal nature within us. We're born with a nature it's about me. This morning you and I have a nature within ourselves. It's about me and myself and I. The big me. It's about me and what I do and what I get accomplished. It's not about looking out for my brother. It's not about whatever. That's not the nature I have. It's about pushing myself up. And so I get recognized. So that I know that I'm noticed. And I like to talk about myself. And I like to just to tell everyone what I'm doing. Mentioned that earlier. What I'm doing. It's a nature within us to think about me and who I am. Who I am. It's so easy to look down on my brother because of who he is and what he does and where he draws his line. We do that in church life. We look across and we see our brother there and we look down. Instead of esteeming, we look down. And we, because where he draws his line for his family or where he draws his line for his own life. Or maybe he doesn't feel like, maybe he doesn't have the convictions like I have. Or maybe he's not as spiritual as I think he needs to, should be. Not as spiritual as I am. And so we put these in categories and we rank people and we place people here and we... It's the opposite of esteeming. It's tearing down instead of drawing up. And we say stuff like, if he wouldn't have so many problems in his life, if he would be like me, if he'd have life figured out. And the list just goes on. There's that nature within us just thinks that we're pretty good and we're just a little better than anyone else. That's just how we are. And if we don't get a hold of ourselves like that, we just kind of go around living our lives that way, don't we? So we have a nature within us to look down and we think we are better. So easy. And I think this morning, so many times, many people called Christians live only to make good impressions on others or to please themselves. When people are concerned only for themselves, seeds of discord are sown. It's what you call disunity. So I believe this morning Paul is stressing the Philippians to love one another, to walk together with one heart and purpose, being of one accord in one mind. I believe that's what Paul is stressing out here and this morning for us as well. When working together, caring for the problems of others as if they were earned, we are demonstrating Christ's example of putting others first. And we're going to get that in that a little later, talking about the mind of Christ, the life of Christ. And this morning, what amazing things can happen when we have that working attitude of putting our brother first or esteeming him better than ourselves. It's amazing when that attitude comes out that I have the best in mind for my brother or for my sister. And when there is a body of believers that is unified with that kind of a spirit, it's amazing what that can do to our brotherhood. The power of unity is amazing. It's amazing what can get done and can get accomplished. And it's beautiful. Like I said, it speaks to the community. It speaks to the world. It speaks to whatever. This morning, this thought of esteeming others is lost in our world today. It doesn't happen. You read the news and it's just about tearing each other down, especially right now with the presidential election year. Esteeming's gone. Paul says, though, let nothing be done through strife or vain, but in lowliness of mind, let's each esteem other better than ourselves. It's lost in our world. And if we see that in our world today, it's all about me, what I want. I deserve it. I'll get it. If I can't get it, I will get it. I'll figure out if I can get it. I do what I want to do. I'll spend this money because I work for it. It's all about me, myself. And the list just goes on and on. The attitude that's out there is far from being esteemed. I said it's out there, but so often it's right here in our brotherhood relationships, in our churches today. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And this morning, we need to do that and live it out in our everyday lives. Another way to tear down and lift ourselves up is when we talk about each other in a critical way or behind each other's backs. I might have mentioned this before already, but I believe it's a real threat to us when we pour friends together that think like us and we sit around, we talk about another brother in the church. Such a tearing down. It's not esteeming. And if we feel like a brother has a problem, maybe you should get down on your knees and pray for him. We'd go miles versus then criticizing and tearing down. Esteeming doesn't seem you have to agree with everything a person does, but it's having a heart of compassion. And it's having a heart of love for someone. It's walking beside one and giving them a hand of encouragement or words of encouragement, a helping hand, it's just going to go a long ways than tearing down. All right, moving on to the second part of the message. We are to esteem other better than ourselves. How is this done this morning? So how is this done? It needs to be done, Christians this morning, Bible believers this morning, brothers and sisters this morning. It needs to be done. It needs to be lived out. Paul didn't give any wiggle room here. It's throw away this. Do not live in strife. Do not live in vainglory. Think well of ourselves. Be proud of ourselves. Be proud of my accomplishments. But in the total opposite, in lowliness, humility, let each other esteem better than ourselves. How's it done this morning? Like I mentioned earlier, like I just mentioned, we have a nature within ourselves. It's all about myself. The nature is to push myself up. The nature is to show that I am someone. And I hope people notice. So this morning, how can I get this carnal nature that is in me, that I'm born with? When we see it in our children, too, it doesn't take long. We see that nature within them. It's not about sharing with the brother or a sister, but it's mine. It's mine, and it's I want the biggest and the most, and it's that nature is just so strong, and we see that, and we'll get a hold of it. And as parents and train and teach them, and they grow up, they'll more and more become that way. But yet, we as parents need to look at our own lives. It's not about what I'm doing for myself, but it's about others, and it's about serving the Lord and living a life that He can be pleased with. Well, let's continue on here in Philippians 2. What is the answer this morning? What is the bottom line answer this morning? How can I esteem other better than myself? Verse 5 of Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. That's our answer this morning. I'm so thankful that's the answer this morning, because we cannot do it on our own strength. We can try to, and we're going to flub up so much, because that's just not in us. But Paul is saying, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. That's who our Christ, that's who our Lord was. That's who our Lord Jesus was. The only way we'll esteem others better than ourselves when we have the mind of Christ living in us. When I have the mind of Christ and have Christ a part of my life and His power. We were talking about the power this morning, the comforter in our Sunday school lesson. That Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the comforter. What a blessing this morning to have power, the comforter, living in my life this morning. That gives me power to live a spirit-filled life. Otherwise, I am powerless. I will not be able to handle living a righteous life today in 2024 without the comforter, the spirit living in my life. I can try to do it all on my own strength. I can try to be the best person around. I can try to say the right thing. But I'm powerless this morning without the comforter. And Jesus said, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send that to you. So you and I can live a spirit-filled life. And have the right attitude and the right spirit through life. This morning, it is the only way. It is the only way. When we have that mind of Christ, brothers and sisters, it's the only way it'll get done. Have Christ a part of my life. As I go live my life from day to day, I can have it in me and with me each day of my life, the 365 days in a year. However long life I live, every day, that power is available, and I can be connected to it. It's the only way this morning, brothers and sisters, have Jesus to come into your hearts and let Him get rid of our old selfish carnal nature. It's ugly. This morning, that old carnal nature got to go. This morning, I cannot live a spirit-filled life without a carnal nature. That nature's got to go. It's got to go. We got to get rid of the old carnal nature. Have it crucified at the foot of the cross. And that's what Jesus did this morning, as he gave his life for you and I, so that you and I could come to the foot of the cross, have the old nature crucified. We can let it there. Let him take care of it and have him wash us clean with his blood. So this is, and that's what Jesus can do for you, for you this morning. It's what he can do. And he goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Just tremendous verses I really enjoy. The example on how Jesus lived his life as he followed is for us to follow and pattern our lives after, esteeming others. This was Jesus' life. When he came to this earth, when he came to this world, verse 6 talks about who he was, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Who was he? He was God. He was willing to leave the glories of heaven. He was willing to leave that all behind, come to this sin-cursed world. He didn't come with an attitude walking around of letting everyone know who he was and where he came from. He didn't walk around with a cocky attitude that I am better than everyone here on this earth. Everyone follow me. I will show you how to live our life. But he lived it by his way of it. He showed the way he lived by his example of humility and his willingness to come and give himself. Verse 7, but made no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man. That's who he was this morning. That's who our Lord is this morning. He stooped so low as a servant. Went from being with God, was God in his presence, and was willing to come and become a lowly servant. Born into a family of Joseph and Mary. Born in a stable. He lived his life in all humbleness. It wasn't about himself, of who he was. But his mission was to point men and women to him. That was his mission here on this earth. It wasn't to walk around and toot his horn and how much power he had and how many miracles he could perform. And no, it was he demonstrated his power so people could see that this was God's son. He was not just an ordinary man. He wanted people to point their lives to him. And so one of the things in his ministry he would do is esteem others better than themselves. We see that in his ministry. We just been enjoying the book of John so much in our Sunday school. We see that time and time. He took time for the people. He would show love and compassion. He would meet the people's needs, physical, spiritual needs. He would do great miracles, powerful miracles, to get to see the people, what power he had, and where it came from. Whether it was feeding the 5,000, calming the storm, turning water into wine, raising Lazarus from the dead. Actually, one day he stopped and told Zacchaeus that he's actually going to come to his house. You children, you know that story. Zacchaeus was a cheater, a tax collector, no one liked. Jesus didn't care. He stopped under the tree that day and said, Zacchaeus, just come down. But I'm going to come to your house. Esteem others better than themselves. That's who Jesus was. He wanted Zacchaeus to find real life, true life. The truth. And the other Sunday we talked about John 13. And to me that again shows who our Lord was. When he got that basin of water and he stooped down to wash his disciples' feet. That's who Jesus was this morning. It wasn't about himself. No, it was the show example of lowliness of mind, esteeming his disciples of who they were. They were carnal men. We talked about that. These men had issues in their lives. Jesus was willing to stoop and wash their feet. Verse 8, he came, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. He was willing to go to the cross the whole way, give his life for the sins of humanity. It was about others. It was about you and I this morning. It was about him willing to give his life for us. He did that for an example for you and I to follow. You and I to follow. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Verse 9, giving him a name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus that every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth. That in every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God and others. Glory to God the Father. Well, this is how Jesus lived his life as an example for us to follow. It was that we are to esteem others better than ourselves, to see the best in each other, see the best in my brother. So often we focus on the flat spots, where he messes up, where he didn't do it right. And so easy to dwell on, maybe on someone that we struggle with. It's easy to look at their failures. Someone that we struggle with, maybe. And it's easy to look at the negative side of their lives. But I believe this morning, as brothers and sisters this morning, if we would esteem others better than ourselves, how would church life go? How would our relationships go this morning if we would actually live this out and practice this out in our everyday lives? The way Jesus said, this is how we ought to live our lives. Have that mind of Christ and working with each other, togetherness. I think church life would go well. Blessings of being unified, working together, one accord in the same mind. When this is done, God will be glorified. And this can be a struggle because we are all human. We all make mistakes. We all say things we shouldn't say sometimes. We all do things we shouldn't do sometimes. And it's so easy to let different personalities rub us the wrong way. But God made us. He made us all different. And he all made us with different minds. And what's beautiful when we can bring us, each one of us can come together with the mind of Christ and be unified. Yes, there will be always differences, opinions. But when we have that mind of Christ and that spirit of unity and esteeming others better than ourselves, when we have that together, God will be glorified and our church will be glorified and blessed. There will be a beauty in brotherhood. When we can use each other to build each other up and build his kingdom. That's what it's all about this morning. It's not about my work, my church, or my thing. But it's about his kingdom, his church. And we're laborers in it. We're laborers in it. And so this morning, if I have the best in mind for my brother and the best in mind for the church, that I'm here to build each other up. Because I want each one of you to make it home safely. That's the bottom line this morning. It really is. Well, this morning, what are some practical points of esteeming others? I'm going to get practical here. What are some practical points? I thought of our last Sunday school lesson, last Sunday when Jesus told the disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. And well, he said, I'm going to go. And he said, I'm going to lay my life down. Because I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love one another. And Jesus did that, an example for us. Do I have that much love for my brother this morning that I'm willing to lay my life down? And there could be various ways, practical points. That I'm ready to give my brother a helping hand when he needs it. Because I really care about him. Or are we becoming too independent-minded that everyone lives and does life how they feel like it should be done, and I don't need you in my life? But do I have the attitude, the spirit of a working together, laying my life down? And maybe it's sacrificing some of my work to help someone. Or maybe it's, yeah, giving in my time. And yet I think my time's so precious, because if I give up my time to help someone, then, you know, that's how we operate. This morning, if I'm sacrificing myself for my brother, ready to give a helping hand, to lift a brother's load, am I in there to be an encouragement? When last Sunday we talked about being encouraging to each other. Am I an encouragement, or am I a discouraged person? Being in discouragement. Or am I walking beside and giving a few words of encouragement? It goes a long way. When you know that someone's going through a hard time, you tell them that you're praying for them. You're praying for them. You're on my prayer list every day. I spend time and pray for you, because I want you to get through this time. I really want you to make it. I want you to lose your way. Do we have that attitude? Do we have a Pharisee attitude so many times? When the Pharisee went up to pray, Jesus said, there was two men went up, one a publican and one a Pharisee. We know the story, we know the account, how the Pharisee went with a pretty highly exalted of himself. You know, I'm not like this person over here, and I don't do this sin here, and I don't do this, and I don't, thought pretty well of himself, and I don't commit these sins, but this is what I do. You know, I pray every day. I give a lot of money in the offering, and I don't miss a church service, and I fast twice a week, and the list just goes on. Is that the attitude I have so often? We'd say we would never pray that, like the Pharisee, but how often, how close are we? Let each other's esteem others better than themselves. It's not an attitude, that a prayer that Jesus will hear, our Lord will hear. But this morning, let's be more like the publican. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So there's many other ways that we can esteem each other. Let's be an encouragement to each other as we live our lives today. This morning, it's more about ourselves than about me. But it's about living a life for my Lord Jesus and living out the example he left for us to follow. Let's take these truths to heart. Let's pray.